96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You may have bad credit or know someone who does, but there's more to having bad credit than just not being able to get a credit card. A good job, low insurance rates, even quality housing could be blocked because of it. Well, tonight, we're talking about the severe impact of bad credit and how you can fix yours. My guests are Cynthia Harrison. She is a financial wealth coach with Operation Hope in Washington, D.C. Monique Hines, a business owner and graduate of the Operation Hope Credit Counseling Program, and Muriel Garr, financial literacy expert and co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Muriel, why is bad credit so bad?
There are a lot of reasons. One, the simple reason is because we spend more than what we make or what we earn. Our needs tend to outweigh our available cash. And then on the other side, credit is a way that those in the business of money make money. And so the availability of credit greatly exceeds our ability to have discipline and control. And that discipline and control, basically in common language, we have more credit. We don't pay our bills on time. Because we don't pay our bills on time, it impacts our credit.
But it also impacts other things other than being able to get a credit card.
It impacts our ability to get a job. And then if we really want to go personal, it also impacts our personal relationships. Because money and the stress related with money impacts our quality of life. So while we're able to get things because of access of credit, the ability not to pay or our inability to pay that debt on time impacts our quality of life. Many of us live on what I call grace. Grace really only works in the church. It doesn't work. you're laughing.
But you're telling the truth. Yes, I know.
You know, grace does not work when it comes to credit. So we have become conditioned to, well, if it's not going to show up on my credit report, then I'm going to take my time in paying it. So then the grace period becomes that extra time to honor that commitment, and credit being a promise to pay. But then when the grace period passes and we still haven't paid the debt, it becomes something else. And before you know it, you're 30 days late. And the reason why you can't pay it is because this obligation came up, or this obligation. Then it becomes 60 days, and then it becomes 90 days. And then if you have what I call life hacking, happens to you, it becomes even worse. So we end up in a situation where we're not able to pay our bills on time. As a result of that, that famous three-digit number, our credit score starts to go down. Then our ability to get money becomes more difficult, but we can still get it. But the cost to getting that money goes up. And then we're just in this vicious circle.
Cynthia, as Muriel just said, getting into a bad credit situation is a very easy thing to do. Getting out of it, not so much. How does someone get out of a bad credit situation?
Well, there's a couple of ways to get out. First, come to Operation Hope and we'll help you. But what we do is we first do an assessment of their debt. We look at their debt. We look at their income. And then we determine, after we pull their credit report, what their debts are. And then we come up with an action plan to determine how to either dispute anything on the credit report that may not be their liability, to address any outstanding debts. And then we create a budget so that we take a certain amount of money to pay down debt. And in doing so, we want to get the debt down, the debt utilization down to less than 30%. And we've seen progress within 45, 60 days for individuals that come into our office at Operation Hope with a 440 credit score, to increase to 720 within 40 to 45 days. Now, each individual situation will be unique. So the first thing we do is we just look at their individual situation. We meet them where they are. We do an assessment, and then we come up with an action plan to either review the credit score. And if there's areas that are liabilities that don't belong to that individual, we will dispute it. And then we began to develop an action plan to either reduce the debt or address the debt in writing to the credit bureau. And we've seen tremendous success in doing that with our customers.
Now, let me ask you, because you said someone may have a 450-point credit score, FICO score, as it's called. And then within 45 days, maybe 60 days, you're talking a 100 or even 200 increase?
I've seen that. I've worked with clients where we've actually accomplished that.
That seems like a lot.
Well, each...
In a short period of time.
It does, but it happens. I'll remind you that each individual situation is unique. For example, I had a client that had a 640 credit score, and their goal was to reach the 700, because we know at 700, those are the individuals that can get that 0% financing and save tremendous money over long term. So their goal was to get to the 700. Now, they had a reasonable income, and their credit score was not bad. It was a 640, but they were having challenges reaching the 700 level. What we did was we assessed their credit score, and we determined that their challenge was that their debt utilization was high. They had high limits on the credit cards, paying on time, but their utilization was 60%, 70% of the maximum credit limit. So immediately we identified those debts and determined if we would pay them down at the 40% level, that we would see a jump in the credit score anywhere from 20 to 50%. And that's exactly what happened. Within 45 days, the client had a 640 on Equifax. When we got the second report, he was at a 740.
Mm-hmm.
His TransUnion was a 640, and within 45 days, he was at a 702.
Yeah, but that's a 20% gap. But I think I'm hearing what Harold is saying, and I think, Cynthia, it is important that we hone in on, because when we're taking someone from a score in the mid-fours to a score in the sevens in a 45-day period, that is a huge jump. But one of the things that I think we need to also make sure that our listeners are aware is, in addition to what you're doing, a large percentage of the credit reports that are out there have an error.
That's true.
And so having an error on your credit report, especially if it's a derogatory, and being able to pull that error off is going to create a jump in your score. Then when you look at utilization and you're able to reduce the utilization down to the where it's more favorable, roughly around 30%, that's going to give you another boost. And then if you have aged credit that is outside the 7 to 10 year window and you're able to get that removed, that's also going to give you another boost. But one of the things that Cynthia and the Operation Hope team do, is because they're experts in credit, is they do what we as consumers don't do. They
What's
sit
that?
There. We as consumers don't pull our credit report three times a year, do we, Cynthia?
Exactly.
And so they're used to looking at credit reports. And so they look at them and they do all the hard work that we, when we're looking at it, will become overwhelmed. And they're like, okay, we can make this work.
Good point. If I...
I wanted to ask Monique real quick, because Monique, you were in the program and you started with a 549 and ended with a 703. How did this change impact you?
The change impacted me on many different levels. It also raised my self-esteem.
Really?
Yes, it did. Because I've always desired to have certain things. I'm a single mom of five children. By my credit score being increased when I first bought my vehicle, my interest rate was a lot higher. After coming through the program, learning how to pull my credit report, follow it, and just to piggyback off of what Muriel just said a few moments ago, I had something derogatory on my credit report at no fault of my own. Mm-hmm. I had to follow up. I had to do my due diligence, and I kept going back trying to get my auto loan refinanced. And after the third attempt, they refinanced it with a much lower interest rate, and that saved me $193 a month.
How much of a difference between the first interest rate and the one that you finally got?
The first one was very high. It was in the double digits.
Okay.
And so once they refinanced it, it was under that.
And I think that really does make a difference. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about double-digit credit, for example, or double-digit interest rates. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about bad credit and how you can improve improve your credit. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Lines are open. Let's go to Asha. Asha calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I have a question. So I recently just paid off all of the outstanding things on my credit report. When I say recently, I mean like within the past week. My question is, what do you need to do to raise your credit score?
Go ahead, Ann.
And the other part of the question is, when something says closed on your credit report, what does that actually mean?
She said, how do you raise your credit score, and what does closed mean on your credit?
So raising your credit score, first we have to understand the various aspects of our credit score. One of the aspects of our credit score is the length of time we've had credit. So the oldest credit history file that we have, our credit utilization rate, what percentage of the credit that we're using. Cynthia spoke about that a few moments ago. What our payment history is as far as our delinquencies, 30, 60, 90, or any derogatories, and then the mix or the type of credit. So one way to raise your credit score is to reduce our utilization. You said you've just paid off all of your credit. Of the credit that you paid off, of this credit cards, or was this auto loans or student loan debt? Which was it?
Nope, it was one credit card that I was using more than I should have been using on. I paid it off and just at a zero balance at this point. And then it was three things? One was a doctor's bill and something else. And my credit history has been for 10 years.
So the doctor's bill, was the medical bill a derogatory?
It was, yes, ma'am. It was $700 and something odd.
Was it a derog? Had it been reported negative? Had it gone delinquent?
Yes, it was reported because it was in collections.
Okay. Collections, and when we call them derogatories, collections or public records, collections and tax liens and garnishments actually stay on our credit file for 7 years. Bankruptcy can stay on our credit file for 10 years. What that means is the weight or how it impacts our score is greater the fresher or the younger the transaction is. So since you've just paid that medical bill off, there are some exceptions on medical bills and student loan debt that's worked out. However, it's probably going to take you more, and Cynthia, correct me, more than 45 days to see a bump on a medical collection that's paid off. Is that correct?
That's correct, Neil. Yes.
So it's probably a couple of things that I would suggest that you do, because having it at zero is not going to necessarily be the best thing. Our credit score is talking about how we pay back debt. So you need to, the credit card that you paid off, you need to use it, but you only need to put on it the amount that you know that you are going to pay off on time each month. And within 30 to 60 days, more on the 60 to 90 day, because you had the medical collection, you're going to start seeing your score go up.
Okay. Asha, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Real quick, because I'm going to run to a break. Cynthia, as it relates to the program, how much does it cost and how long is it?
Well, all of our services, Operation Hope, are free.
Okay.
And we do a two-hour workshop as an orientation for all of our clients. And they can also schedule a one-on-one consultation meeting with us. And the time may vary depending on the situation with each individual. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, Monique had success in 6 months. I've had clients that, and Meryl is actually right to go back to an earlier point. When you have derogatory information on your credit, or maybe 90% of consumers have errors on their credit report. So when we say we do an assessment, we look at all of that, and then we determine whether we need to address that. So each individual time frame in terms of the success of it, it's unique in itself. Depends on the individual situation.
If you want more information about Operation Hope and the credit program that they are talking about, you can find it online at operationhope.org. That's operationhope.org. Stay with us. More of your phone calls, comments, and questions in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tom, Tim, Goffrey, We're going to talk to you all, so stay with us. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the severe impact of bad credit and how you can fix yours. My guests are Cynthia Harrison, financial wealth coach and with Operation Hope in Washington, D.C., Monique Hines. She's a business owner. She's a graduate of the Operation Hope Credit Counseling Program. Also, Muriel Garr, financial literacy expert and co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tom, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tom. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening.
Hey, how are you?
I've listened to the other stories, and mine is probably a little bit more difficult than theirs. They seem like they had pretty much a fairly good start. I had a really good start also. I had a credit score of roughly around or the 630, 640 range about 3 or 4 years ago. And getting laid off of my job actually made it actually get me sort of in a bind, and I fell way behind to where, though, as I had several things happen, like a repossession and things of that nature, trying to get a job. And my credit score falling all the way down into, like, the low fours.
Tom, let me ask you, we've got a lot of folks on the line. What's your question?
Question is, how do you actually dig yourself out of the hole when you actually don't really have the income sources that I can't really see at this point in time that's actually burying me, and to know what exactly I need to hit in what direction to actually start raising my credit score? A lot of people need to get another automobile per se to actually.
Well, let me see what Cynthia has to say about that, Tom. Go right ahead, Cynthia. How do you dig yourself out of the hole?
Well, it'll be a process, Tom, because you'll need income. But the first thing, as I said earlier, is we want to assess what your credit score is looking like, and sound like you've looked at it. But we look at the areas that you can address. For example, you want to check to see if there's any derogatory information on there or information that is not yours, liabilities that are not yours. Oftentimes, too, sometimes the credit reporting agencies or the collection agencies, sometimes they're reporting the information twice. We look for that because that can affect your credit as well. So without income, we look at the areas we can begin to work on, and then we set a goal when you're working, the other areas that we'll begin to tackle. The auto repossession collections on the credit report is often challenging. Usually, though, if it's been a repossession, and in fact it's been paid off, they're supposed to notify you, and then the balance of the liability is what you owe. We would look at things like that as well. So it will take some time because you need income to resolve it. If you don't, we would look at the areas that we can address, and then we'll set goals for addressing the other liabilities when you have income coming in.
Now, Cynthia, another point, though, because I know that's one of the things that Operation Hope has done, because he mentioned he had been laid off with his job. We do work on actually setting up repayment plans where we can reduce the amount of the monthly payment in exchange for not having a derogatory, correct?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So that would also be a part of that review process.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So not having a job, because as I said in the first part of the show, life does happen. So even when life happens, one of the things that's important, Harold, is that you're communicating, you work with a qualified financial coach and credit repair individual, such as those at Operation Hope, who also have access to the lenders and are able to negotiate on our behalf. And the amazing thing is they're not charging you $199 to fix your credit. It is free. They are also very well credentialed, have relationships with all the regulatory agencies, have relationships with each of the credit reporting agencies and all the financial institutions.
Monique, how did you dig yourself out of the hole?
It was a process. One way to simply put it is that the income that I was bringing in, I mastered the art of saving, and I created a plan. I strategically set money aside every time that I received a paycheck, or even if someone gave me a gift, a monetary gift, I would take money and sit it aside. And when it was time for me to pay my bills, if I was short, I would just look into this account. I refer to it as my protection account. Some others might refer to it as a savings account. And over time, it grew. And then to piggyback off of something that Ms. Harrison has said earlier on in the conversation, is that each individual's financial situation is uniquely different. I had a launching pad also to launch.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is my tax return. I use that to launch me. I was fortunate enough to receive a large tax refund, and I strategically set money aside, and that did launch me as far as calling creditors, making payment arrangements. And before I was even tempted to splurge on the money, I paid the creditors.
Okay. Tom, thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tim, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have a good evening first. I'm sorry.
Hey, how are you? Go right ahead.
I'm fine. Thank you. I had a judgment on my credit report, and I was trying to pay it off. I called the automobile company, and they transferred me to a lawyer's office. This lawyer's office, I guess they transferred it or sold it to another lawyer's office. And when I called the second attorney's office, they could not find it. They had my name and my information, but they could not find the folder, or they didn't have a record or a history of this. So how do I approach that?
What was happening?
So when we enter into a debt arrangement, the lender has the right to actually take that credit agreement and sell it to another lender. And actually, that's how lenders make money. We sell paper. So the paper that we're selling in this instance would be the legal documents attached with the car loan. And then when the debt goes into a delinquent status, we're only able to keep, or lenders, I'm in a different role tonight, we're only able to keep delinquent debt on our books for a certain period of time. We have to reserve for that. And after that period of time, we transfer or sell that debt to someone else whose business model is such that they can keep delinquent debt for a longer period of time. So it's the shell game. It's similar to what happened in the housing crisis, when mortgages were being sold from one party to another, to another, and to another, and to another. But if you also remember, during that crisis, there was something that came up that was very controversial, which was called prove the debt. And in proving the debt, the entity or the individual who was coming after, let's say Mary, saying that she was delinquent, had to prove ownership of it.
So let me stop
you. And the way they
you.
Prove ownership is that they have to have the legal document that says what the terms and the agreements are with your signature on it.
Well, Tim just said he had gotten to a point where there was no paperwork.
That's exactly right.
He told me, give them 2 weeks and they'll call me back. And it's been about a week and a half. And
so how should he do that? Is he in a good position now?
He's in a good position.
He's in a very good position.
Go right ahead.
Well, the burden of proof becomes on the lender, and once they pass this debt to one collection agency to another, oftentimes they can't find the documentation with his legal signature on it. So there's a standard letter, you dispute it, and they have to remove it. The law says that you have 30 to 45 days, I think it's 30, to develop the proof, and if not, by law, you have to remove it off the credit report. He's in a very good position if they can't find the documentation, legal documentation.
But he still has to wait about, what, 30 to 45 days?
It's 30 days. According to the law, if there's a derogatory that's listed on your credit report, we as the consumer have a responsibility to notifying the creditor that, in fact, it is a derogatory and why. Once the credit reporting agency receives our written notification, the clock starts ticking. They have exactly 30 days to actually prove that the entry that's on our report is accurate or not. If they are not able to prove that based on whoever has filed that derogatory immediately comes off. But there's two parts for Tim. It's not just actually getting that derogatory off of his credit, is actually closing the situation as far as who holds the security interest on his vehicle. And if that second creditor or a credit reporting agency cannot prove that, then not only is he in a very good position, he's able to actually potentially walk away, and with the security interest being the title, a clean title on that vehicle.
Sounds to me like he would need to sit down with Operation Hope or something, because that really does sound like a complex situation. By the way, Tim, if you didn't get that information earlier, you can find it online at operationhope.org if you're interested in participating in the program. But thank you so much for calling. Taylor, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Taylor. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have a situation where I'm going through a litigation. It was involving an accident.
Let me have the short version, Taylor, if you can, please.
Okay. Unpaid doctor's bills are probably going to hit my credit report very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't want this to happen, but what would I do in the event that they did end up on my credit report? Even though I technically won the case, but the other party has not paid those medical bills.
So the medical bills are in your name. You've got a litigation. The other party was liable for paying the bills, and now the bills are in collection, and the medical facility has contacted you.
Yes.
Have you gone to court?
Yes, I went to court one time, and it was, they ruled in my favor that the accident was
not your fault.
Work related, yes.
Okay.
But they have still not paid these medical bills.
Have you received past due notices from the medical facility regarding the medical bills?
Yeah, I've received all types of notices, and now the hospital has referred it to a collection agency, and I'm just watching my credit score plummet. I had close to a 750 credit score before this happened.
So it's already on your credit report because it's been reported to a collection agency.
Not that so much.
Well, let me try to work through this real quick, Taylor, because we're down on time. I think the bottom line is you're not supposed to pay those bills. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you have an attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I see where you're going with that, Harold, but the other part of it is, and Cynthia, I want you to chime in, a couple of things that we haven't talked about, and that is that any individual has a right to actually write a statement. I believe it's up to 250 words on their credit report. And so many of us don't realize that you can actually write a statement as it pertains to whatever the life happens situation on your credit report, and anybody that pulls your credit will actually see that statement. So that's one thing. Is that going to help address the issue associated with her score? No, it's not. But you also have the opportunity to go back to those medical facilities. If you went to court on the accident, it was ruled in your favor, then those documents should be on file with the hospital. Oftentimes things get lost, and that they would then do something different with the billing. Cynthia?
Well, in terms of medical bills, too, there's another little thing called the HIPAA law. And when they start transferring these medical bills to the collection company, if you've not authorized that, there's another letter you can send to the credit bureau to say that they're in violation of the HIPAA law and to remove it from your credit. We've done that successfully with many of our clients, so be glad to talk to you more about that if you want to give us a call.
What is the phone number, by the way?
It's 202-344-9444.
One more time, please.
202-344-9444.
And, of course, online at operationhope.org. Taylor, thank you so much. When we come back, more about bad credit and good credit and how to move from one to the other. What kind of mindset do you have to make that change as well? We're going to talk about that as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to WHUR World.
Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the severe impact of bad credit and how to fix yours. Before the break, I was talking about changing one's attitude about your credit. And I want to make sure that we hear from Monique in that regard, because I would imagine that when you started the program, you probably thought about your credit one way, and then when you finished, you thought about it another way. Talk to me about what was happening.
Okay, I believe that everything starts, begins, and ends in the mind. And what I have done is I have reprogrammed my mind. Coming into Operation Hope, I just wanted to learn how to create a business plan and a business model for my catering business. But what I received after coming through the workshop and meeting Miss Cynthia Harrison, and she outlines the program, I was getting so much more, and it was of a great value to me because it was for free. Mm-hmm. They make it mandatory that you find out about your credit score. You learn about it. Prior to coming through the organization, I've heard, as it refers to a credit report, different terms used very loosely, but I didn't have an understanding. After coming through the program, I had a deeper understanding, and it made me change my thought process to, I need to be credible on paper.
Was it hard to make that change? Was there a time when you said, oh God, when they started telling you some of the things that you had to do?
It wasn't hard because I had already made up my mind that I needed to change my life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And are you happy with where you are now regarding your credit score and the trajectory that it has taken?
Yes, I'm very happy because in my personal credit, it's good credit. In my business credit, it's growing and it's great. It's good credit. And I'm very appreciative of the program. I've learned so much. I believe in the founder's vision and dream.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about something else, too, because often, Cynthia, we hear comedians joke about putting the phone bill in your children's name because your credit is jacked up. Now, that may be funny on the surface, but talk to me about the real world issues regarding doing something like that.
Well,
especially if the child is 5 okay. or 6.
Talk about authorized credit users. Let's just talk about that,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of putting the phone name in someone else's name and they have good credit to use their credit. Now, there are some cultural groups that's been doing this for years. So by the time their kids are 18 to 21, they have excellent credit. But the value in that is that they're paying it on time. So when their kids are ready to go to school, 18 to 21, being an authorized credit user, and it's in their kid's name, then their kids have excellent credit by the time they go to college or graduate from college. The downside is if you don't pay it on time, then you're affecting your kid's credit. So it's not a good thing to do.
But isn't it also illegal?
Well,
I mean, that's what I'm getting
yes,
at.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, it
you
is.
Know.
It is.
It is.
I'm just
very
saying to you
illegal.
In terms of doing it, yeah, we've heard a lot of culture groups that do that, and it is illegal. And particularly, it's illegal, period. But we know that the groups do it culturally. Certain cultures do it so that when their kids when the kids become a certain age, they've established credit. So the authorized credit user means that the credit card owner has the credit card and they have their kid's name as an authorized user. That's not, well, if they're underage, it's illegal. And it's also illegal to put your credit in someone else in your kid's name if they're underage. You're absolutely right.
And the point that I was making, as I said, was it's not so much that you're doing it to make sure that by the time that child is 18 that they have excellent credit. Because if you jacked up your own credit and then you put something in your child's name, chances are
it's illegal.
It's illegal, and you're
that.
Not going to do that.
And oftentimes, kids when they grow up, they actually sue their parents for that. There's some that will do that once they find that their parents have used their credit. I've heard their stories. I haven't seen it in my own experience, but I've heard stories about it.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. I was in a situation where we actually did a pilot program in a municipality, and we were working with students at a certain school in a certain school district. And as a part of that reward mechanism, they were receiving a stipend based on behavior, but we wanted to bring them into the banking mainstream. And we were setting up bank accounts for these young people. And in order to do that, you know, you go through a screening process. And we had roughly 30% of those young individuals who had negative or derogatory financial conditions that had been set up in their name, in their Social Security security number. And, you know, a cable bill, no. A cell phone bill, no.
Utility
bills. Utility bills, or, you know, furniture, rent to own furniture. And so identity theft is a crime. And whether it be your parents, your cousins, your nephews, it is a problem. So one of the things that is we really are focusing on now is no matter what the age of your child, you should be making sure at the same time you pulled your personal credit report, which is 3 times a year, now there's an initiative going forward to also pull your child's credit report at the same time, because you want to be able to get ahead of it before it becomes problematic.
And I do know that in the state of Maryland, and I would imagine in other states as well, there are ways that you can lock your child's credit.
Yes.
That's what my daughter's mother and I did with our daughter, so that she would have no credit, not just to protect her from any wayward family members, which was not, as far as we were concerned, an issue, but to also protect her from herself.
And it's not just for a child. Any one of us can actually lock access to our credit files. And as a result of several things that have happened in the last year, we had an issue with one of our major credit reporting agencies that had several hundreds of thousands of files compromised. We had a healthcare entity that had hundreds of thousands of files compromised. And something else that was actually mentioned recently about a huge compromise on credit files. So it is important to actually think about the value of your credit file. And locking that file is something that it would be it could be in your best behavior. For us as adults, we may find it to be inconvenient, because when your credit file is locked, the ease of getting access to credit actually changes. You have to go through a process, and everything doesn't happen in a microwave type of fashion. However, you know, anything that comes quickly can be lost quickly. And so we need to be mindful of that. They say that your identity is traded hundreds of thousands of times in the black market. So, today, getting access to your social security number, where you live, is very easy.
Let's go to Anthony. Anthony calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Anthony. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Good. I'm calling in reference to the credit questions. I have a few cards. I had a few cards, and I'm not using them anymore because I got rid of them. But all my credit went to collections. So I need to know, how can I go about really trying to get out of that debt?
Well, you know, one of the things, Anthony, I say when I'm doing classes, and Cynthia is going to say something differently because Cynthia takes the higher road. You're down. Cynthia does. But, you know, Anthony, one of the things I say to people is, okay, well, you know, if that's the case, you're down as low as you can go. So everything from here on out is going up. And so what does that mean? That means, you know, you're going to work with someone like Cynthia. They're going to do an assessment of where you are as far as your credit profile. And then, you know, credit is a promise to pay. Work out some arrangements, Cynthia, with those that you have in collections, you know, and how can you negotiate what you're going to pay back? Because the other part of credit, Harold, especially when something goes to collections, the amount you owe tends to get yeast attached to it.
Get what?
Yeast. It grows.
Oh.
So you may have only owed $300, but by the time it gets to the collection bureau or in the collection agency, it becomes $700.
So what would be his first step, briefly, Cynthia?
Well, how long has your accounts been in collection? Let me ask you that.
Well, I left New York in 2016, so it just recently, I want to say it just recently started going to collections in the probably in the last year. So?
2 years. He left New York in 16. This is 18. So he's on a 2-year. He's on a 2-year plan, Cynthia.
Okay. Well, as Meryl had said earlier, you certainly can negotiate, and we recommend that if, in fact, they're your liabilities or your debts, we assess it, and then we talk about negotiating that debt. And oftentimes, when it's in collections, they want to settle this thing. I've actually sit down with many of our customers and made the phone call. 90% of them will negotiate, and you request it in writing exactly what they're going to do. And we also ask them to remove it off of all of the reporting bureaus. As Muriel had said earlier, there are three reporting agencies. It's a business. So when we assess all three of the credit reports, we want to see where they're reporting. And then we determine this negotiation. You'll make those calls and negotiate what amount you can pay. For example, we've had success with a client that had a $700 Sprint bill. It was outstanding for some time, a couple of years, and she negotiated $100. They accepted it. It was in collections at this point. They accepted it, and one of the conditions was we wanted to remove it from her credit, all two reporting agencies. And they did that within about 45 days.
Okay. Anthony, thank you so much for your phone call. Again, if you are interested, Anthony, in the program, you can find it online at operationhope.org. I'm going to have a final word real quick from Monique. Monique, you are where you are now. It's taken some time. What's your plan as it relates to your credit moving forward? What's your plan to grow it?
My plan to grow my credit is to continue to save, but then also get into investing. I want to invest in myself and put myself in a position to be able to invest in others. So right now I am doing that on a smaller level. I continue to develop myself. I go to a lot of conferences, take advantage of workshops, and I want to grow my business by also getting into real estate investment. I want to use that money to continue to fund my two businesses.
Well, you know, that's what they say. Knowledge is power.
And she's got some discipline.
Yeah. How about that? And that's what I was getting to earlier. She has the discipline. I think that's something that a lot of people may lack, but they need to really focus on, because as we said in the beginning, it's easy to get into a bad credit situation. So it's going to take some work to get out.
Before we go off, because I know we're coming up on the end of the show, we've been talking about credit, getting your credit together. We've got Operation Hope has some workshops that are coming up in the market, in the D.C. market. They're free of charge. The first one, Cynthia, is?
The first one is next Saturday, April the 14th at our SunTrust Bank at 1340 Good Hope Road Southeast. It's from 10 to 1230 p.m. It's free. There'll be refreshments and gifts provided for all attendees.
Gifts. Well, then you need to
show up. And there are two
up.
Others after that. So go to Eventbrite.
Is the information on Operation Hope?
Well, you can go to Eventbrite and find all both of them. One is April the 21st, which is the following Saturday.
Tell you what, I'll make sure that information is on our website.
Great. There you go.
All right. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 6th for News Director Renee Nash, Reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, Producer Candace Atkins, Engineers Iron Waller, and Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University